flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd be up for anything. I literally am open to any idea. The whole script thing, the only thing that sort of pops to mind that I would wonder about if you did something like this would be the player's willingness to even be involved.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think, from a larger view, that's what we're talking about. Whether it's the dunk contest, hell, whether it's just games on a Wednesday in Charlotte. Like, our whole issue right now in the NBA is getting players to be willing to do whatever it is the NBA schedule is asking them to do.
Yeah, if they're not willing to play a basketball game against their best peers, I don't know how interested they'd be in acting or playing along with the chosen script that year. If the chosen script was get Steph the MVP, how would, I don't know, someone like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander feel about that?
I mean, he might be all right with that, but even like, so how do you go about playing? If it's going to be a great script, it would need to look like basketball.
You also just need Steph to make a bunch of threes for that to happen, and you can't really plan that out.
No, and I also think, like, you're looking at players who would need to then, again, commit to a little bit of physicality. And to me, that's the thing. You can do whatever you want, Adam. You can make them play a tournament. You can make them draft each other. You can give them money. You can put them on the moon. I don't think you're going to get these basketball players to touch each other.
The draft was great, not because of what it impacted on the court, just because of the drama during the draft.
The draft was fun.
The game was not.
Maybe we should just do that. Have them show up and draft each other, and then they can all sit down and have a burger. Like, honestly, they're not going to touch each other. And if the players won't touch each other, how do you play basketball? Yeah. And have it look like basketball. So, like, Filmo, I love the idea because, like, let's just throw out ideas.
Creative.
Let's do that. I'm in. But, to me, there's a common thread through whatever we say, which is that you're not going to get these guys
to bump
with one another.
Yeah.
You know? Christian in Fairfield next up on Willard and Dibs with Grandy here. What's up, Christian?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Real good, man.
I wanted to see why you don't think De'Aaron Fox is a good trade option. And then for the names, he was a great player, but the reason I'm a Warriors fan is Sleepy Floyd. And then the average player name is probably the worst moment in Warriors history, Billy Owens.
Oh, God. Billy Owens. Okay, first of all, Christian, you're speaking my language. The Sleepy Floyd is that was my guy. That was my guy, man, when I was first coming up in Warrior basketball. Thank you, Christian. But I don't want this to be mistaken. If it sounds like, and I don't want to speak for you, Grandy, the idea of being down on a De'Aaron Fox trade, no, not down on it at all. I just personally think it's impossible. I do not think the Sacramento Kings will do business with the Warriors. I do not think De'Aaron Fox is interested in being extended with the Warriors. These players have tons of power. They know where they'll be extended, and they let those teams know through their agent whether or not they will extend. And if the Warriors are being told, and I believe they are, along with probably 28 other teams, I won't extend with you, then it's a bad idea to give up a ton of assets to get him.
Yeah, agreed. And even if the Warriors would be willing to give up those assets, again, like you said, I don't think the Kings have any interest in playing ball with the Warriors on De'Aaron Fox. The only thing worse than trading away a franchise centerpiece and having him go on to do great things is trading a franchise centerpiece to your Northern California rivals,
right,
who you can drive across 2 hours to get to the opposing arena. Like, it's one thing if it's the Lakers or the Clippers, and you're still in the same division, although who cares about divisions in basketball, but you're not trading your franchise centerpiece to your main geographical rival.
Yeah, it just, yeah, exactly. I just, that's all I've been trying to say whenever anyone brings it up this week. I'm not trying to pour water on anybody's flame. It's just not a match. And when you look at the way these stars kind of conduct this thing, there's a reason you're hearing San Antonio Spurs. And you know, maybe there's a couple other teams that are on the outskirts. De'Aaron Fox does not want to play for the Warriors. And the Kings and Warriors do not want to do business with one another. So I just don't think that that's a realistic play. I wish it was.
Me too.
I
mean,
it was. Awesome.
Of all the realistic players available at the deadline, I mean, he's probably the bell of the ball. He's the number one prize because
no
he's
doubt.
Young and very good.
Listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Also, Slam Dunk in Vegas contest is on. So someone's going to win travel and accommodations for a party of four. You get to bring three guests of your choosing to Las Vegas. And oh, by the way, when you get there, each of you gets $5,000.
Whoa.
20 grand! When you arrive in Vegas, this is the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championship, and all you have to do is listen for at least an hour a day on the Odyssey app. And I don't mean you need to, like, compile an hour every day for an entire month. Anytime that you listen for at least an hour, you're entered.
And you can enter every single day.
Every day, you get a new entry, okay? So you download the Odyssey app. And it's a national contest. You log in, you listen for a minimum of an hour every day, and you're in, and you might be going to Vegas with $20,000 in March. So
sounds pretty simple and straightforward to me.
That's going on as well. We want to keep taking some calls, but also coming up in like 5 minutes or so, you should reboot the way you laid out the remainder of the Golden State Warriors season and sort of why you're so focused on Cam Johnson, and I'm right there with you. And what I love about Cam Johnson, and if you don't even know who that is, we'll explain all of it to you. He plays for the Brooklyn Nets. For both of us, he's our absolute number one target. I love that it's so quiet around him. I love that.
You're big on that.
Well, like, let's talk about it for a second. We are in the media. And then there are those in the media who actually report on these things. It's not as if they're just, like, Monty Poole is not at Mike Dunleavy's house. He's not on the phone with him listening in. For Monty or Kawakami or Anthony Slater or Marcus Thompson, for any of them to get information, Mike Dunleavy or anyone else in the Warriors organization has to knowingly decide, I would like to tell that person something on the record. And then that person gets to share it with all of us. And people don't do things for no reason. Like, why are they telling them, oh, by the way, we're about to trade for Zach LaVine or whatever?
Well, for trades,
why would they do that?
For trades, it could also come from the other team.
Yes, or the agent.
The yes. Bulls could be saying, well, Mike Dunleavy's been calling us a lot. They are interested in Zach LaVine.
But why would they do that?
I don't know.
And that's, again, that's what I'm talking about.
But it might not, the Warriors might not feel like it's in their best interest for that to be out there. It could be somebody else that's giving that information.
I remember, and I know this to be a fact, there are general managers who I've had conversations with where they will tell you, in a way, they're almost going to float something out there to the opponent because they want to see
if it gets out.
And they'll tell them, they'll say, listen, on this conversation that we're having right now, if this gets out, I'm out. So you keep it here or I'm out. If I see this or I hear about this, this conversation's over. That happens. So when you suddenly, here comes Windhorst and 80 other reporters, and Zach LaVine and Zach LaVine and Zach, when Jimmy Butler, when you do that, somebody wants something to happen. They're trying to push a leverage button. And if you hear nothing, I do translate that as at least it could mean conversations are going well. Because if you hear everything, it means that you're butting up against something and they're trying to use the public to stir it up or get something going in a different direction.
Well, I haven't heard a lot of talk about Zion to the Warriors, so you're telling me that's going to happen, huh?
That's exactly what I'm saying. If you haven't heard their name, they're coming. So, like, 98% of the league is about to be on the Warriors because you haven't heard their name.
Get it done, Mike.
let's go to Sean in Richmond. Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's good?
Hey, man. I like what you guys are talking about and everything, but hopefully we're not getting no more guards over here. We're like guard heavy over here at Golden State. And it's just time for us to start building on a situation where it's going to prolong Curry's career. It's also going to keep Curry excited to still be here. I'm tired of the old recipe. We keep on getting more guards and more guards. That whole I keep forgetting that guard that we just got.
Schroeder.
Schroeder. It's just like, we need to compete with these bigger guys, man. And the Lakers has already shown it that they're winning all these games with Davis and LeBron and all these other cats coming off the bench and everything. We got to rebuild. We got to do something different, and we got to do it right now.
So let me ask you this, though, Sean. Do you consider the likes of Butler and LaVine or even Cam Johnson, do you consider them guards?
Cam Johnson, I think, is like a hybrid a little bit. I like him. I don't like LaVine
because
he's a suspect. He's suspect in defense. Butler, as long as if it's his head straight, that's pretty much still like another guard. But at the same time, he played defense. If you can keep his interest, that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean,
like, how long can we keep him here?
It's a good breakdown, Sean. Thanks. And yeah, Cam Johnson's 6'8". He's 6'8", and I don't think the Warriors are going to be in there. Like, if you're worried about a Dennis Schroeder type, I don't think the Warriors are in the market for that. Obviously, the only big name that fits that description who's on the market is De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors were getting Schroeder simply to replace De'Anthony Melton.
Yep.
Other than that, they probably agree with some of what you just said, Sean.
And they could really use a stretch five. They could use shooting across the board. It almost doesn't matter what position it is. Point guard, maybe you're right. That necessarily, no. But they wouldn't, like, turn their heads at a great shooting point guard. That's still a pretty good asset to have.
Yeah.
You can make other combinations work. But yeah, they just need shooting anywhere you can get it. And Vucevic is an option, of course. He's one of the best shooting bigs that's available, probably the best shooting big that is available at the deadline. The issue is he's older and that he is absolutely terrible defensively. I'm a big fan of the Cam Johnson idea because I think he's just the perfect fit on the Warriors roster that unlocks so much else. And what kind of happened for me, what crystallized in my mind, was the Warriors beat OKC and you kind of had everything happen at once. Everything that's like been inconsistent, and it all happened at once. You got a great game from Wiggins. You got a very solid game from Dennis Schroeder. I know no one wants to admit it, but Buddy Hield was very solid in the second half of that basketball game. You got greatness from both Kevon Looney and from Gary Payton II. Brandon Pajemski was really good in that game. Kyle Anderson hit a big shot. You got everything that you've been waiting for to happen at once. The Warriors are good when all those things happen. Of course, when everyone on their team is playing good,
right.
good things happen.
Right.
The issue with this Warriors team, though, is they've been largely inconsistent. And one thing that I've been asking myself is, why is this group so inconsistent? Because clearly it's there. And when it's there, this is a very good team. Again, against the six best teams in the NBA, the teams with the six best records, Cleveland, Oklahoma City, Boston, Houston, New York, the Knicks, and Memphis, the Warriors have a winning record against those six teams. They're 7-6. When things click, and by the way, it has tended to click against the best teams, when things click, there's no team out there that the Warriors cannot beat. Now, you could say that for a number of teams. It's just varying levels of how often things click for teams. I think the issue for this Warrior team and why it hasn't been clicking very often is because they are asking everybody to play up a role. They have a gigantic hole in their number two scoring spot on this roster. They're asking Wiggins right now to do that. Wiggins can do it every once in a while. He did it. Well, he really was the number one scorer against Oklahoma City, and he's good enough to do that every so often, but he more fits in as a number three scorer who's going to give you a lot defensively and will defend the opposing best guard or wing. He'll do that every night. He'll give you anywhere between like 12 to 16 points on an average game, but every once in a while he'll break out and score 27 like he did against Oklahoma City. I could say a similar thing for Dennis Schroeder. Right now he's being asked to be the number three scorer. If you add in somebody like a Cam Johnson who can be your two, it pushes Wiggins down to three. You get Kuminga back, he could be four. Dennis Schroeder suddenly is your number five scorer behind Steph and those other guys I just mentioned. I think it makes the whole roster come together. This isn't like a terrible roster. This is the funniest thing. I've seen so many Warrior fans on Twitter post the Warriors starting lineup from the Oklahoma City game,
yep.
which was, no, I guess it was the Utah game when Steph was out. It was, what, Schroeder,
Heald.
And Heald, and Wiggins, and GP2, and TJD.
TJD.
And it was, oh my God, this is the worst starting five in NBA history. Like, no, clearly it's not. You have Wiggins.
Actually, it was the team they were playing.
Yes.
It had the worst starting
exactly.
five in NBA history.
Like, this isn't a bad Warriors roster. It is just a roster that is missing a very, very important piece, which is a number two scorer. And if you can get your hands on the number two scorer without giving up a Wiggins or a Kuminga, who are still clearly very valuable to that team, everybody else slides down a notch into a role that they are so much more comfortable in.
I think you're cooking right here. And I agree on that 100%. And the line that you use each time you use it, I ask you to slow down and say it again, because I don't know if any of our heads have been thinking about this all year. When you take the six best teams in the NBA, the Warriors have a winning record against them.
7-6.
That is really significant. And they're tied for the lead in terms of wins against the teams that have the best point differential in the league, as you pointed out, right? So, like, all of that suggests, again, nobody here is making the case, hey, the Warriors are still good. Like, just keep running it. It's not good enough. But what it does tell you is there is something in the sauce that is effective. And at its highest level, if you can, as you're pointing out, move people down, take a little off everyone's plate and make it more consistent, you could actually have something. Because in recent years, the last 2 years and the frustration around them, I think that the characteristic of the Warriors that really told who they were was their record against the best teams in the league, and it was awful.
Yeah.
But that's not the case this year.
Now, the flip side is they're 7-6 against the best teams in the NBA.
Which means
they're 17-17 against everybody else.
Which, right. So that shows
that there is a problem.
Of course. Of course.
But it's not like a problem so far as there's no possible solution.
No, I think injuries play a part in that. I think age plays a part in that. I think underperformance plays a part in that. But this deal, to me, shores up a lot of that. And then the other side to it is you have to hope that you're about to be a healthier basketball team. Like, you can't sit here today and be like Draymond and Kuminga. Well, you hope. You hope that 2 to 3 weeks from now, you have a stretch of being full strength, and let's see what you can do in the second half of the season. Let's go to Johnny in the city. Hi, Johnny. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple of things. One, I think Curry has to get on the phone and try to convince Fox to come join with us for long term.
Huh.
I think he may or may not be able to do that, but if I'm the owner, I'd ask Curry to make a phone call and convince Fox to sign a long-term deal with us. If that can't get done, there's a trade that would work with the trade exceptions. Brooklyn would get Kyle Anderson. Indiana would get Kevon Looney, and we would get Cam Johnson and Miles Turner. I was listening to the game, the Indiana game the other night, and their hometown announcer said that they are worried that they won't be able to afford to sign Miles Turner. And if that's the case, they are looking at possibly trading him before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And I was shocked to hear that, but that means he's available. He would be a great stretch five for us, and the trade exception with Looney and Kyle Anderson works on the trade machine, and I think that would give us Cam Johnson and Miles Turner, which would solve our 3 and 4 or our 3 and 5 positions.
I'm not like Johnny. I've heard some of the same things that Miles Turner is a possibility. I know a lot of Warrior fans are into him. I'm not on your laptop. I'm not seeing how those salaries match up at all. But like we'll play around with it a little bit. But you know, if Cam Johnson in theory is somewhere in the neighborhood of 27 and
Miles Turner's 20,
and that's what's on the way to your team.
Yeah, you have to give up Wiggins.
The Warriors have to give up at a minimum of $47 million, and Kyle Anderson makes about 8.
Is this year 6 or year 7 of the Warriors trying to trade for Miles Turner? Maybe year 8?
9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so back.
We're cooking with gas now. But his larger point,
I mean, those players would both fit on the Warriors,
no doubt.
Whether
his trade machine is broken or not, if you want to have a conversation about Miles Turner, it's not the worst idea. Again, I would love to see someone who's a little bit more prolific offensively. Like, Miles is a good offensive player, and he's a banger, and he can do some things on both ends of the floor.
He can hit the 3-2.
But that's my point. Like, the Warriors have a bunch of people who can hit the 3. They need a 3-point shooter. Cam Johnson is a 3-point shooter.
42%.
He is a marksman. This is one of the best catch-and-release players in the whole NBA.
Miles Turner, 40% from deep this year.
Right, but a lot fewer, lot less volume.
5 attempts per game.
Yeah, a lot less volume.
Cam's putting up 7.5 per game.
Right, again, he's a good shooter. He's a good shooter. He's a very, very good player.
Career year shooting. He's never shot higher than 38%. He's shooting 40%.
Again, that's just, if you don't agree with the opinion, you cannot agree with the opinion. But Miles Turner, to me, is someone who can shoot a 3. Cam Johnson is a 3-point shooter.
He would probably immediately become their second best 3-point shooter.
I mean,
that's
like,
maybe saying more about the rest of the Warriors.
Yeah, you're saying Miles Turner is somewhere around 40.
Yeah.
Like, Draymond Green has spent the majority of the year as someone who's around 40.
True, not 5 attempts per game.
Five a game, but I could argue that Draymond Green is someone who can shoot a 3. But not 3-point shooter.
Draymond, 36% this year, on about 3.5 attempts per game.
Yeah, I even put Wiggins in that category, and he's doing pretty well this year. But I look at him as a guy who can shoot a 3, not a 3-point shooter. Steph Curry's a 3-point shooter.
Andrew Wiggins is 38.7% this year.
Which is good.
35.7% on his career.
That's totally possible.
But what is Buddy Hield?
Buddy Hield's a 3-point shooter. How's that going? not right now. Not right now.
He'll shoot him.
And hasn't been for 2 months.
He's not a 3-point maker.
No. Yeah, exactly.
What do you think Buddy Hield's 3-point percentage is this year? Up to the minute. Before
tonight's
game.
Higher than y'all think it is going to be my answer. I bet Buddy Hield's percentage right now is 38.
36.4. He's a career 39.8% shooter.
Yeah. And at that volume, I'm going to say that someone who shoots 40% at that volume, that's 3-point shooter. And that's what Cam Johnson is for his career, too, is right around 40.
Since the beginning of December, Buddy Hield is 30% from
downtown.
Oh,
he's been terrible.
Yeah.
It's been brutal. And a lot of them are like wide open. I was watching the game the other night, and this was early in the Thunder game, and the ball moved around the arc, and it got to Buddy, and there was nobody there. Thank you. Yes, I have a TV. I've got two of them. So ball moves around the arc.
You have cable, YouTube TV? What do you got here?
So anyway, right? Warriors coming up at 7. So ball moves around the arc, and it gets to Buddy, and he's wide open, and Fitz goes, okay. But, like, he literally had this amount of work. He's just like,
this
it was
is
like
the moment.
Drum roll. He goes, okay, Buddy Hield, warm up three.
Every three is a trip.
Bing, 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 and bounced out. Nope.
You can't buy a bucket.
No, no. You cannot. Cannot buy a bucket. But then he'll suddenly have a third quarter and hit three of them. Like, he'll do that. So, look. I've already had my apology to the adorable Kings fans who tried to tell us for a month, oh, just wait. Don't fall.
Hey, he showed up against the Kings.
Yep, but don't fall for Buddy Buckets. Like, the Buddy Hield experience is coming, and we've gotten it. We got a huge spoonful of it.
And for everyone on our text line, 888-957-9570, I get a lot of it on Twitter as well. So, well, you know, you shouldn't be trading away Kevon Looney. You should throw Buddy Hield into the mix. It is less about the player in terms of trades and more about the contract situation. Right. As we talked about with Eric Pincus, it's always been the case. I think it's even more so now because of the new CBA. Expiring deals, which are essentially contracts that don't go beyond this current season, are so valuable to teams who aren't necessarily interested in trying to win basketball games the rest of the year, because it allows them to reset their books and have a better opportunity at either not spending a lot of money and pleasing an owner, or setting themselves up for next year's free agency and having the ability to go out and sign somebody. So this isn't you or me or anyone else saying Buddy Hield's more valuable to the Warriors than Kevon Looney. Is that Kevon Looney is 100 times more valuable on the trade market.
Correct.
Than Buddy Hield because he's on an expiring deal.
Right. And I get this. I got nothing against fans who think this way, because we all try to do this to our friends in fantasy football anyway. Like, we try to like be like, here, you want... Like, you want to try to act like you're a step ahead of everybody. And you want to
he's primed for a breakout.
Yeah, you want to get rid of your crap, and you want to receive something awesome in return, and you want to convince everybody that, hey, he's about to break out. And Buddy Hield does have a track record in the NBA. And yes, it is at times frustrating, but he is legitimately a long-time NBA effective three-point shooter. That's the resume. Like, he can score the basketball.
Through the first X however many games he's played in his career, like, one of the most prolific three-point shooters in NBA history.
Totally. But you're not, like, I don't think we're in a spot where you're going to pull the wool over another team's eyes. So I get it. You want to get rid of Buddy Hield. We went through periods of time already where everyone wanted to get rid of Pods. That's taken a break because he's had four good games since his injury. He looks really good. So I understand it, but I don't, with a number of years left on the deal, I don't think you're going to find takers for Buddy Hield right now.
No, I don't think so either. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Who do you think the Warriors are starting tonight?
Oh, boy.
I have the starting lineup in my hands, courtesy of our Warriors insider, Anthony Slater. I'll just refresh your memory what the Warriors started with last game.
Right.
Steph Curry, Buddy Hield, Andrew Wiggins, Gary Payton II, and remember, Quentin Post. So that was the last starting five. Okay. What do you think tonight's starting five is versus Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and the Phoenix Suns?
All right. Literally had lunch with the with John before he came in here today.
Voice of the Suns.
And he told me that something that has sort of dogged the Suns, not just this year, but in years past, the reputation is you can push them around.
Ooh.
You can push them around.
They're a little soft down low.
Right. So, if I'm Steve Kerr, especially to reward him after what he did last game, I'm going to start Kevon Looney. I'm probably wrong on that. But let's... I'm wrong on that. Fine. I don't think it's Quentin Post.
So who do you think it is?
I think it's TJD. It's not.
It's not TJD.
Is it? Is it Quentin Post?
It is Quentin Post.
Oh, well, then why'd you buzz it? Why'd you buzz it when I say Quentin Post?
You said it's not Quentin Post.
I said I don't think it's Quentin Post. That's not definitive.
Bad thinking.
All right, let me back up.
Incorrect thinking.
Steph Curry.
That's correct.
All right.
You're one for four?
Dibs would say I'm hot.
All right, you got the right, center.
Andrew Wiggins.
There you go.
Andrew Wiggins.
You got 1, 3, and 5.
Okay, and we said Quentin Post is going to start. The other two, I guess GP2.
Correct.
And Schroeder.
Nope.
Is it Hield?
Yep.
Okay.
Same starting lineup as against
the Thunder. I wanted it to be Schroeder.
And me too. Or Pajemski.
Or Pods, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got some underdog action on Pods tonight.
Ooh, there you go.
Well, they put the higher or lower at 8.5 points. I'm like, he can do that? Pods is hot. He's in.
He's not in the starting lineup.
No, but he's not usually in the starting lineup.
So, yeah, Steve Kerr sticking with Buddy Hield. Steve is a big Buddy Hield fan.
Well, but I don't have an issue with it because I think if we've gotten any message from the Warriors this year, don't get obsessed with who's starting. Quentin Post started, and then he never played again the rest of the night.
He had like another 2 minute stint.
He had another two. You're right.
That was it.
Played 6 minutes, and then they went back to him for 2 minutes at some other point
in the second quarter. I think.
Yeah. So
did not play the whole second half.
Right. If Buddy, like, you might as well check and see if he's got it going, because he can get you some points early in the game. He can get things off to a good start. If not, you pull him, and you can go to Schroeder, and you can go in other directions. Like, look, Buddy's going to play. Buddy is going to play, and I don't care if it's at the beginning of the game. You know, I just don't. I don't think worrying about the starting lineup. It's that type of team right now where you got to see who's hot, who's not, and you have to play the field game once you get started. I know y'all want Moody to start, but he'll get his time. And if he plays great and Buddy's bricking, then Moody's going to stay in the game.
Yeah. I thought there was a chance that we might see Buddy Hield not start the second half against Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
He started the game, and sometimes that's what Steve will do. In fact, he did it with Quentin Post in that Oklahoma City game. He started Quentin Post and then started Kevon Looney to begin the second half. And Looney obviously responded by having maybe the best game of his career, or at least his regular season career. He was amazing in that game. But we haven't yet seen that. I asked Steve about Buddy Hield yesterday here on the show. Thank you. And it was less about making shots. He honestly did have a nice stretch to begin the second half where he was pushing the ball and actually making good passes and setting up his teammates. And Steve, of course, is very appreciative of that sort of thing. Like, one of the first replies to Anthony Slater's tweet is, oh my God, Buddy Hield has some serious dirt on Steve Kerr. Like, that's not what it is. Steve Kerr just likes the other things that Buddy Hield does. The issue is it's harder for us to see that, I think, because we just think of Buddy Hield as this amazing three-point shooter, and he hasn't been making his threes for 2 months now.
Yeah, look, I said it last year. I think it rings true again this year, especially with Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green hurt. There are plenty of nights where you are going to be screaming Steve Kerr and rotations. But just my opinion, I find it to be an unfair take. I just do. And I mean that almost in an omnipresent way. Number one, because yes, you're all right. He's going to make some mistakes because there is no way to know with a group of just above mediocre players, who's going to show, like Quentin Post, we're like, oh, Quentin Post!
And 20 points!
And then he went out there and he Chewbacca'd the game because he looked like a Wookiee, okay? he looked like a Wookiee. And so you pull him back out and then you're yelling at Steve Kerr in rotations again. The bottom line is these dudes, they're going to look different every single night. They don't have a flow because they don't have all of their people. And so you do have to dip toe in water, see who's got it, and then play the field game within the game. And I credit Steve that he'll come on our show and others and be like, I messed that one up tonight. You know, but we're asking him to basically be an intuitive of some sort with regard to who's gonna do what in the matchup, who's going to have the hot hand. And that's an impossible game to play every night.
And as much as we might be frustrated watching Buddy Hield play, and I think I share with a lot of Warrior fans frustration in watching him just miss open three after open three after open three. It's rough, of course. The one thing that Buddy does do like, say, even better than, way better than, say, Gui Santos, even when Gui was on that streak where he was making, like, 4 out of every 5 threes he took, it felt like, making everything he took. Buddy Hield, just because of what he's done in his career and the respect that defenses have for him, even if he goes 0 for 7 from deep on a night, he's still spacing the floor. Like, he's still Gui Santos is not spacing the floor. Podziemski is not spacing the floor. Moses Moody not really spacing the floor. They might be shooting better from deep over the last, like, few weeks. No doubt they are, of course.
Yep.
But, now, you want your guys to be making the open threes that they're taking, but him being out there is still making it at least a little bit easier on Steph. Because the defense has to respect Buddy Hield, even if he's made one of his last 100 from downtown.
And even with Schroeder playing better, he's not shooting that great. So those of you who want Schroeder in there instead of Hield, not like he's really knocking down his threes either. I don't know what his number is as far as like what he's been shooting since he came to Golden State.
Schroeder?
From three?
Give me a sec.
I bet it's below 35%. I bet it's below 35. So 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll keep taking your calls
Schroeder
on this.
Schroeder with the Warriors, 30.8
Oof.
From downtown.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
He was 38.7 in Brooklyn this year.
Yeah, it's a big, big difference. Kevin in Pleasanton. Hey, Kev, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Guys, what's up? Hey, the only reason why I'm calling and saying this is because, Willard, I know you'll keep it real, right?
Come on.
So listen. Honest. Last game, did Steph have to play for the Warriors to win?
Last game, did Steph have to? I believe so, but I could hear a different argument.
No. I was just asking.
Okay.
And then my other man that's filling in for Diz.
Grandy.
What's up?
Yeah, so Grandy, so what is your thought? Because I know you think differently than Wilbur.
Well, I think there have been moments where the Warriors have surprisingly played pretty decent without Steph, but they lose against Oklahoma City without Steph. I mean, Steph was huge down the stretch in that fourth quarter. He didn't have a very good first half. Honestly, it was a miracle they were only down 10. I think I know where you're going, but they lose that game without Steph against Oklahoma City.
Okay. However, though, I can backtrack you on that. What you said yesterday, right, I was dying to call in, but I couldn't. But what you said was actually when Steph went out at 4 minutes or something like that, the Warriors went on a 10-5.
They did.
Okay. When Steph came in, every time Steph came in, the Warriors lost points. You know why? Because, and I'm not talking about this, this is not on Steph, it's just the flow of the game. The game was moving fast. Everybody touched the ball. When Steph's in, Steve Kerr has it set up to where everybody's rescreening, like 4 times. Whereas when Steph's not, the ball is flowing. That's why Podziemski was flowing like he was. It was moving. And so sometimes, I know you guys know this, you don't know the rhyme or reason why Steve just pulls people out that are hot. He just does that. And sometimes it needs to keep up with the flow of the game. I liken Steve Kerr to Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. When he had, what's the quarterback?
Ben Roethlisberger.
And the league is moving towards mobile quarterbacks. Kerr is kind of stuck in this same system. And he's not allowing it to where the athletes can play in the system. The league is evolving. And Kerr is still trying to stay the old way. And this rescreen is slowing the ball down.
So, quite frankly,
while, yes, the talent is not there, but I still blame that on Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is running things, so don't get it twisted. He's the voice in the room. Steve thought that he can plug and play like he's always done, right? However, he's not letting the athletes play. The system has changed. The NBA that he created, Steve Kerr created it. He just didn't evolve with his creation. He's still stuck, right? Kind of like Mike Tomlin.
Well,
he's stuck.
But, Kev, I think the middle ground is an interesting take. Thanks for calling. I think the middle ground is not, and I don't even know if Kev is fully pitching this, but like if the idea is, oh, you just got to move on from Steph Curry and this team is better without him, I don't know how many people buy that. But the rescreen, in other words, the full focus and pressure on Steph's shoulders at all times, does feel like it's got diminishing returns as well. So I get that. To me, the middle ground is actually what you did see the other night against Oklahoma City. I thought that even when Steph was on the court, you saw a little bit less of a dominating of the ball by Steph Curry. And you saw him take a role where it was like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be on the floor. I'm going to be a big presence, but not the only presence. But what that called for that night was for Andrew Wiggins to be on one, and we all damn well know if you want to sit around and wait for those games, they usually come around once every 2 weeks.
And when they do come around, you got to take advantage of
right.
them.
Right, and that's great.
Yeah,
but you're not gonna get that every single time out.
I do understand where our caller's coming from, and that
I do too. That
was kind of the basis of a point I was trying to make, I think, what he's talking about a couple of days ago here. And it was the dichotomy between how the Warriors' offense looks when Steph's on the floor and when Steph is off the floor. It is amazing that the Warriors are 6-3 without Steph this year. It makes no sense. Have you watched an end of game, normal end of game, when Steph is on the floor and how rough that is? You would imagine you take Steph, the most feared offensive weapon in the NBA still to this day, you take that out and somehow the team looks like it flows better. It doesn't make any sense. So, and I think what you're hitting on is right. There needs to be, and maybe there is, a little bit of an adjustment when Steph is on the floor of not 24/7 making this crazy Steph-centric screen, re-screen, get him the ball. You have an open look. Oh, but Steph's open too. That's a better shot. Like, there is a reality in where you can maybe play a little freer and flow while Steph is on the floor and allow him to thrive a little bit more in the flow of that offense, as opposed to every single second on the court is try to get the best possible look for Steph 24/7, which takes away from everybody else.
888-957-9570. More of your calls next, including Kurt from Hayward Hills is on the line here to wrap up our week, which is amazing. We'll tell you more about how you might end up in Vegas with thousands of dollars simply by doing what you're already doing literally right now. So there's that coming up. And by the way, the Warriors play in an hour and 20 minutes against the Suns right here on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
My other man that's still here for Diz.
Grandy,
yeah, what's up?
Grandy, so what is your thought? Because I know you think differently than Wilbur.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I tell you what, and I always forget the names of the callers because we're just taking the bug. That caller right there that you just replayed, you know what he is?
What?
The bleep starter. Bleep starter. You walk into a room and look at two people and go, hey, don't you think X? And then you go, yeah, I do. And don't you over here, you think Y, well, right?
And before you get to the second person, you say, I don't even know your name, but yeah. You think this, right?
Yeah. Okay, fight. Everybody fight with each other. You bleep starter. You're not going to turn us against each other. But anyway, this has been a really, really fun week. You did an awesome job, man.
Just fun
fun being in here with you for the whole week. Dibs will be back on Monday. Vegas contest, Slam Dunk in Vegas contest is on. I promise more info on that. Travel and accommodations for four. That's you and three guests and $20,000. Sorry, just let me drop that in there. Yeah, $5,000 apiece for you and each of your guests.
A piece?
A piece. The ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship. And if your next question is, how do I win? You simply just listen on the app. That's it. So if you're logged in and you're listening on the free Odyssey app, and you listen for at least an hour each day, that's it. You're entered. You're entered without even having to do anything. So if you haven't already downloaded the free Odyssey app, I'm thinking, you know, now would be good. So go ahead and do that, and then listen each day for a minimum of an hour, and then you're entered every single day into this national contest.
And obviously, it goes without saying, the more times you enter, which means the more days you listen on the app for at least an hour, the higher likelihood you have of winning a trip for four to Vegas and $20,000.
$20,000.
So yes, just keep listening every day.
Right. And we did get a text earlier that asked the same question we did, which is, can you just invite three friends and keep the entire $20,000?
You'll have to win to find him.
I don't know the rules, but I don't know how anyone from Odyssey would be able to police that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to sequester all four people, stick them in hotel rooms of their own, and have, like, a bag boy show up with the 5K and, like, have it delivered in a check form. Like, I don't think any of that's happening.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I think you just go to Vegas and they're like, here.
Have fun. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all want to hear the stupidest thing that anybody in the media has said all week? Y'all want to hear it?
I do.
I do too, but let's hear from Kurt in Hayward Hills first. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, there's the boys, the great boys of the Bay Area. Hey, how you doing, fellas?
We're doing great, Kurt. How are you?
Well, I've been listening. And when I heard that the Warriors, the five starters, you started Buddy again for three nights in a row? I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Buddy again? let me tell you something about Buddy. One thing about Buddy, first of all, he's not a defensive player. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, maybe he passes the ball once in a while. And the bottom line is, he stinks now as a three-point shooter. I don't know why we picked him up, and nobody's going to want him, and we're stuck with him. Get him out of here!
Yeah, Kurt.
But I'd say this. Like, he's here, and you have to try to use him for what he's here to do. And I'm not really bothered if he starts or plays in the second quarter or the third quarter or whatever. Like, I mean, are you suggesting just outright DNP bench the guy?
Yeah, correct. And get Schroeder in there. He's a way better player. Buddy Hield, right now, when I'm watching him the last three games as a starter, I don't miss any game. I study every player. This guy is not for us. I don't know why we picked him up. They should ship him out.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of people on your side.
He's not a starter, my friend. He's not a starter.
Well, I get what you're saying. I don't really care about the whole starting, finishing, somewhere in between. To me, all the minutes are cut from the same cloth. So to me, it's more a matter of just how many minutes do you want to play him. If you make the case that he's playing too many minutes, I hear you. I just think if you're Steve Kerr, you gotta check on him every night at least once, because he can get hot, Kurt.
Well, he might get hot, but when's he been hot? When? A month ago?
November.
See what I mean?
You're not wrong, Kurt. You're not wrong.
I'm 100% right. He shouldn't be a starter. There's a lot of other players on the bench that should be starting besides this guy. He's not any good, and I don't want to keep repeating myself, but get him out of here!
No, that worked well. Kurt, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I would like to work around a property, but it's going to rain, but I'm going to take it easy. We're going to watch the game tonight, and you can bet Phoenix is going to lose. We need to be on a three-game winning streak, and if we go to a five-game winning streak, what are we going to say about the trade then? You're going to break up my... Wait a minute. You're going to break up my man Wiggins? Kuminga?
Probably not. Maybe not, Kurt. Maybe not.
I don't know. I like the team. I like the bench, but they're not inconsistently. That's the problem with them. But if they be consistent, let me tell you, you know what they made a mistake? They got rid of Thompson. Big mistake.
Well, Clay, but he got rid of himself, Kurt. He wanted to leave.
Well, I know that. He was on the bench, and they put him on a bench, and that wasn't good because he's one of the best three-pointer shooters. Not better than Curry. Nobody's ever going to be better than Curry. He's the top of any three-point shooter. We all know that. But Thompson made 7 three-pointers the other day, so he's still a great player, but he was on the bench. So he said, hey, you guys want to put me on bench? I want to get traded. And then they brought in Buddy Hield. Come on.
I mean, hey, Kurt.
You got to be kidding me.
You're calling a victory tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm calling victory tonight. Okay. I can see it. If they play the same way, and, you know, let me tell you something. We scored 48 points yesterday at the bench. I think we have the bench in the league, to be honest with you, when we're all playing good, that is.
If they beat the Suns, and you happen to be at the airport, and the Suns team bus drove by, what would you say to them?
Get out of
Kurt, way to go. That's a walk-off.
Have a good weekend, and you stay dry. I love hearing Kurt be like, oh, we're just going to take it easy this weekend.
He was going to do some work around the house, around the yard.
It's just my unfair perception. I took him for someone who takes it easy pretty often. Like, I mean, that's just my perception.
Kurt gets stuff done.
I think he gets it done, but he watches every minute of every game. So, take it easy.
There's no Warrior games over the weekend.
I need to know what a weekend when he's not taking it easy looks like.
I want to know when Kurt's getting it in. What does that look like?
On the town.
The man on town. Want to hear the dumbest thing that anyone in sports media has said all year?
It's not something that I said?
No, it's definitely not you. It's from ESPN's NBA Today.
I look at a guy like Steph Curry making an All-Star game this season, and I look at a lot of guys like Kyrie Irving, Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox, just in this conference who had better seasons than, or playing better than him. Look, I'm gonna say the quiet thing out loud. Steph Curry should not be an All-Star. He shouldn't. Look, no matter what the fans want, no matter what the coaches want, no matter what we want, who we want to see, this still you have to earn to be an All-Star by your production. And if you're looking at the production around the league, it's guys in the Western Conference that have better numbers than Steph, and their teams are in better positions than Steph. So, I mean, what? Am I lying?
Yes.
That's Kendrick Perkins, by the way.
Kendrick Perkins, and I love when he looks at everyone in the room and he's like, what? What? And he said that because they're all looking at him like, dog, I'm sorry, do you not understand how things work?
The All-Star Game is a career achievement award.
It's also for the fans. And so if you want to sit there and be like, but I ran numbers, and this, you want to talk about a numbers are numbers, so numbers are numbers person, apparently it's Kendrick Perkins. And by the way, he didn't even put in the part about how Kendrick, the game, is here in the building that he built. There would be a riot if he wasn't in this game, and there should be. So I now feel dirty for even playing the sound.
Yeah, how dare you?
That's exactly what I think he was going
Let's
for.
Let's check in on Kobe Bryant, and he was an All-Star when he was 37 years old, averaging 17 points per game on 36% shooting.
I did not hear anybody raise a stink about it.
Did he deserve to be an All-Star for his performance that year? No, because that's not what the All-Star game is about.
Nope. Nope. It never has been, and I hope it never is. Good Lord, if we start doing All-Star games solely based on merit, that's the only way to positively make it even worse. Honestly, you want the bench player who's scoring 20 a game in San Antonio who you've never even heard of? You know, like, come on, man. You're an entertainment. This is about stars. Just because you were like a rebounding goon in the paint does not mean that's the way the All-Star game should work. They should name the stupid thing after Steph Curry and LeBron James after this last decade and a half. They're the whole league. They are literally the whole league. All right. You know what's coming up in the game?
I think I'm coming up next.
Grandy in this last segment is literally standing up and like buttoning up his collar and his shirt. Why were you all casual for us?
I don't know.
Now you're getting all fancy?
I got to hustle when Warriors Live ends and get to Chase, so I got to just make sure I got everything set so I can get on out of here.
And there is weather out there, so yes, what's coming up on the game? More Grandy. Uh-oh. Because he's got Warriors Live tonight ahead of Dubs and Suns heading into the weekend. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
No.
Okay, good. All right, Dibs is back on Monday. Thank you for the week, everybody. Really, really fun. For Grandy, for Lucas, for Steven, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.